Blog Talk Radio.
Black Hole Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
Black Hole Radio presents Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness.
BA4CP.
With your hosts, Rudolph Muhammad.
The Deacon of Destruction.
And Yusuf Muhammad.
Disaster.
People get ready.
There's
a train
of coming.
You don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is boots to hear the diesel moaning. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord.
For the train to Jordan,
picking up passengers coast to coast. Faith is the key.
Open the doors and board 'em.
There's hope among love and love.
Peace and blessings, peace and blessings, peace and blessings. Ramadan Mubarak to my Muslim family. Peace be unto
Ramadan
you.
Ramadan Kareem
to my
sir.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. And peace be unto you to the rest of my family from whatever nationality, whatever culture, whatever religious persuasion you come from, whatever your faith tradition. We want you to know that nothing, you have nothing to fear from our hands or our mouths. This is a love thing that we're dealing with today. And we are
right.
just trying to express some of the attributes from the Almighty, All-Wise Creator. So in the name of the Almighty, All-Wise Creator, that one God who is responsible for all that was, is, and will be, that great I am that I am, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Some call him the grand architect of the universe, and what an architect he is, that he was able to construct this world that we live in out of the unfathomable regions of his mind. And then he put it down on the trestle board, and then he got busy erecting and enacting the things necessary that we have in our physical universe. And then he went into the storeroom of his mind once again. And, you know, if you read it from the scriptures of the Bible, after everything that he did, you know, it says, and it was good. And then after
right.
everything was put here, it says that, you know, once everything was done, he still wasn't satisfied. So then he created, brought into existence man. Not mankind now, man. And when he fashioned man and formed him from the dust of the earth, black mud, and fashioned him into shape, and then blew the breath of life into him, and then he became a walking, breathing, physical replica of what was in the mind of that creator. And, you know, some may say, and this is going on a limb, Brother Yusuf, but some may say that God did the first CPR, you know, when he blew his breath and he blew that 16% carbon dioxide into that dead body, and that dead body sucked it up and used 5% of that 16% carbon dioxide that he breathed into him, and then his lungs started to flutter, and then his heart started to pulsate, and then the blood started to move around and around and around his circulatory system, and then he was alive. And once he was alive, God said, it's not good for man to be alone. So then out of his mind, see, now here's where some of the conflict comes, Brother Yusuf, you know, you know, and I'm not getting at nobody, but he didn't make her from the rib, you know. She'll come from the side. She doesn't come from behind. She came from the same thought pattern, process, and the same mindset that we came from, because she is the second self of God himself. So in every man, there is a woman that is in there. That's what gives us the balance. That's what gives us the artistic nature that we have to beautify things. That's what gives us, you know, the ability to nurture and not just destroy. But, you know, I'm going on a tangent, Brother Yusuf, but that's because I feel so good, brother. I feel so good. This that's is beautiful. Ramadan, brother, you know, and right. For the family that's listening, what that means is that millions of Muslims are fasting right now, not eating or drinking from sunup to sundown. And you would wonder, well, if brother ain't eating or drinking, how the heck he got all this energy? Oh, my gosh, if you only knew. If you only knew the surges of energy that go through me at different times of the day. But anyway, let's get back to this. So in the name of the Almighty, All-Wise Creator, and in the name of his risen Christ, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and in the name of their apostle, warner, teacher, and guide, their mercy to mankind, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I greet those that are on the air listening. I greet you in the greeting words of peace and of paradise of As-Salaam Alaikum. We want you to know, thank you, sir. We want you to know that this is your show, and we're going to move right into the show. I'm going to turn this over to my co-host, my able-bodied, capable co-host, the Pastor of Disaster, as we so affectionately dubbed him, and he will come on with the platinum vocal cords, and he will soothe you with the words that are coming out of his mouth and the spirit that emanates from his heart. Brother Yusuf?
Thank you, Brother Rudolph. In the name of the Most High God, the Beneficent, the Merciful, we call him Allah on this program, but you can call him what you want. Whoever is the source of your supply, Let's give honor where honor is due. I, too, greet you with the greeting words of peace. We say it in the language of our ancestors, assalamu alaikum. And for those who don't know what that means, in Arabic, it just simply means peace be unto you. And the return greeting is unto you be peace. And we also know that that greeting is actually a prayer, one for another. I, too, am engaged in the holy month of Ramadan as a Muslim. For as it says in the Holy Quran, that is the scripture of the Muslims and verifies the truth that's in the Bible, I believe it's Surah 2, Ayat or verse 183, where it says, O you who believe, fasting is prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you, so that you might guard against evil or attain God consciousness. Another word for that is taqwa. So it's indeed a pleasure. We thank Almighty God for love, for life, and our wonderful wives. We thank Allah God for a reasonable portion of health that we might be here once again on this wonderful program, if I might say so myself, the awareness for community preparedness, where a great brother like Brother Rudolph T. Muhammad and your little brother, Brother Yusuf Muhammad, we find joy in sharing the latest up-to-date cutting-edge information that has come through our screen since the last time we got together. Certainly, we encourage you, for those who are on the line, we thank all of you for the honor of your ear and the privilege of your presence. Share with your network, your database, that every Friday from 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, by God's permission, we come before you. You can log on to talkradio.com/blackholeradio.com/DACP. Or you can call in at 563-999-3089. Again, that's 563-999-3089. You can press 1 on your phone pad to engage and to ask any questions. We have in our lessons, it says, ask questions and learn all about yourself. Your brothers from the East want to know what you're doing for yourself today. And we also taught that mere belief accounts for nothing unless carried into practice. Okay, so you don't have the lessons that we have. You know, I think it was Jay-Z, Brother Rudolph, that said, I got 99.
Hey, that's right.
What was that, problems? But that, yeah, I'm in the wrong field. I'm talking to the wrong audience.
Yeah,
wrong studio. Yeah, forgive me, family. I was thinking about what's my man's name, Curtis Jackson, aka 50 Cent. He had a song called 21 Questions, and I think I'm gonna take a note out of their notebook and just ask questions today. We want our listening audience to call in because, see, this month, in case you didn't know, for our first-time listeners, again, welcome, welcome, welcome. This month we've been focusing on mental health. We've been suggesting solutions, identifying cause and effect. You see, in the field of disaster preparedness and management and all hazard emergencies, we attempt to be humble and just be a part of community involvement, community investment, community partnership for community risk reduction. So here we are. Here we are. All praise is due to Allah in the month March. What's today's date? The 22nd? I think so.
Yes, sir.
2024.
Yes, sir.
So welcome, 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 family. I'm going to hand it back over to our dear brother, Brother Rudolph, will carry us further. And we just thank Allah for the guests that we'll have today, Lord willing, and the guests that we've had the past 2 weeks. Brother
right.
Dr. Akili Muhammad, Sister Melanie,
yes,
Sister Chantel Muhammad. You know, once you start calling names, family, you know you run the risk of missing names. So Brother Rudolph will come
right.
down and make sure the names I missed don't catch me in the alley tonight to let me know I missed their name. So anyway,
right.
love you,
yes,
family.
Sir.
Brother Rudolph, the floor is yours.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Yusuf. You know, before we go any further, we don't want to be remiss in our duty because God loves gratitude. He hates ingratitude. And to show that we are grateful and to have an attitude of gratitude for all that he blessed us with, we are thankful that he blessed us with friendships in all walks of life. We are thankful
right.
that he blessed us with abilities to utilize the technology that's on this planet. We are thankful that he blessed us with an assembly of people who are like-minded and who want to help the human family by bringing solutions to the myriad of problems, situations, and conditions that confront humanity every day. So we want to thank Brother Forrest and his lovely wife, Sister Yvette, my sister.
That's right.
And Brother Jason and their children, because their children take turns engineering our show from week to week. But we want to thank them for creating a forum for us to be able to give this information to those who are listening. We want to thank those of you who thought it not robbery to dial in or log on from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. every Friday, Eastern Standard Time, in order to be a part of this, we're going to say classroom, because what we are endeavoring to do is teach the some of the forgotten knowledge, teach some of the unknown knowledge, and teach those who are willing to learn and listen, because everyone that comes on this show is a subject matter expert of one degree or another. And so as even Brother Yusuf and myself, as we are co-hosting the show, we're learning from those of you who come on from week to week and drop the knowledge that you drop. What we all need to be doing each week is to bring someone to the show that we know needs this information. You know, as you were talking, Brother Yusuf, and you were parsing from some of these Pied Pipers that are out there, I was thinking about Wu-Tang Clan, you know? They had a line in one of their songs that said, "Shorty running around, smoking cigs, drinking beer, ain't trying to hear what I'm kicking in his ear." You know, and that could be
go ahead.
A reality today, because a lot of people are not trying to hear the truth. They are being lulled to sleep with what do they call these things that they have on TV, reality shows. Yeah, they
mm-hmm.
call it reality, but whose reality is it? Because I don't know nobody that really lives like that. And I know quite a few people, Brother Yusuf. I know you know quite a few people, several hundreds. And we don't know anybody whose daily routine is as is seeing on these big screens there. That is for entertainment, family. And the problem is that some people see that on the screen and believe that that is the reality and try and act it out in the real world, and that's when worlds collide, and that's when the stuff hits the fan. Yes,
mm-hmm.
sir. You know, this week what we're talking about, again, is solution. We're talking about there is a balm in Gilead to make this, to heal the sin-sick soul. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. We're talking about a remedy, a treatment, a therapy, solution, if you will, for the issue, the problem of mental illness in our society today and in our world. Let me go out on a limb by saying this. Mental illness in the world today is on the rise. And it's like the IRS, when you owe them, they compound that interest daily. Well, that's how mental illness is. It's compounding daily because so many people are so upset because of what is going on in society and because they don't seem to have answers for it. It sends them into a tailspin. And in going into that tailspin, it causes them to act irrationally. And so to the majority of society, then they are deemed, I don't want to use the loose words that we sometimes use that put such a bad stigma on it by saying crazy, but it right. makes them appear to be out of control. Now, I work with that population on a daily basis, and after the psychosis of the moment is over, and they get something to eat, and they get a few hours sleep, and they wake up, and they begin to talk to me, I realize that, oh, they're not that far off from the truth. They have just experienced something that they just did not have the resources to manage. So they went through a disaster. Now, the name of this show is Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. Because before you can prepare for a disaster, you must be aware that it's there. Well, the disaster in this respect is the resources that they need to balance out their life they do not have or did not have at the moment, and it caused them to unhinge from reality. Now, with that being said, what seems to happen? So when that happens, someone calls 911, and when they call 911, someone responds. Well, who responds? Well, first of all, 911, generally, the police respond. 50, as they call it. Jake, you know? They come, and what are they coming to do? They're coming because they heard that there is someone loose in society that may cause a danger to themselves or to others. So their perspective, when they show up on the scene, is definitely not to worry about trying to heal anything or anyone. Their job is to make sure that no one is going to suffer harm from anyone else's hand. And that's just a general perspective. Not bashing the police, because the police have a responsibility to maintain law and order in society. And I know right away, I hear you. But, you know, there are rotten apples in every basket of fruit that you pick. every farmer can bear witness that when the crop, when it's time to harvest the crop, some of the crop is already spoiled. And that's not the farmer's problem. That's just life. So when you find rotten fruit, what you cannot do is mix it with the regular fruit. You must separate it from the regular fruit so that you can save the good fruit that can nourish someone and get rid of the bad fruit that can taint someone. I don't know where that came from, Brother Yusuf, but I just think I throw it out there. I just throw it out there, you know.
No, that's a great illustration, brother. That's a great illustration.
You know, so thank you, brother. So, you know, what we want to deal with today is to let the family know that I don't care how long you've been off keel or off your square or not on your fulcrum or off balance, there's an answer for you if you're courageous enough to, one, understand and accept the fact that you need help, but two, understand and accept the fact that none of us are so strong that we can live in this world without the help of someone else. Once you begin to understand those basic realities, then you're ready for the help that's out here. Medicine, medicine. Medicine is used to help cure an illness. But once you reach balance, you have to leave the medicine alone. Because the medicine is the same poison that got you sick. It's just issued to you in a different strength for a different amount of time to bring the body back to balance. But again, as I said, once you achieve balance, hello? I hear that there's someone in the studio, so welcome to Disaster Awareness for Community of Preparedness. To whom do we have the pleasure of speaking to, and how may we be of service to you?
Brother Rudolph, Brother Yusuf, we have Sister Deborah, we have Dr. Joy, Sister Dr. Joy, we have Sister Chantel, all waiting to come and join your panel. Should we bring them in?
Thank you, sir. Yes, sir. Bring all three of them in, family. So we are going to be blessed to hear from three sisters who, and I know the Food and Drug Administration, they don't like us saying, using that word cure, okay? But since this isn't their program, I don't care what they like, all right? This is our program. We say what we want to say. And so they are going to give you some remedies, some solutions, some tools to go in your toolbox to help you deal with reality the way it is, but also they're going to give you some resources that you can utilize in order to help you not spin out of control and be able to get back on that horse and ride that horse until you can't ride it anymore. So Sister Deborah Seven out of that illustrious, famous boss in the Republic of Brooklyn, boss number 17, with that strong, strong voice, that minister, Son of Thunder, Minister Henry Muhammad, she will come and speak to us. And then, of course, we have Sister Chantel. Now, we know Sister Chantel, she's coming from Mecca. No, she's coming from Medina. And in Medina, she is surrounded in a cocoon. She's surrounded with many, many, many schools of thought. But she herself wields some intellectual property there that will allow her to be able to
give balance to the conversation.
And then we have our sister, Dr. Joy, who is going to come and talk to us about a proven remedy, a proven treatment therapy that can help you no matter what.
I don't know how to get on. I don't know how.
So let's start with, and then Brother Forrest, also look out, Sister Phyllis should be on the line as well. And they're going to talk about some counseling remedies that are out there that are designed to help you be able to bring from deep, deep, deep down inside of you those ideas, thoughts, and feelings that you may not have been able to put into perspective. They're going to help you to put them in perspective, to verbalize them so that you can bring them out, so that you can get help for them and realize you're not crazy, you're just overwhelmed. So let's begin with Sister Deborah Sepp. Sister Deborah, welcome to Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness, and thank you for giving us some of your time today.
Yes, sir, Ramadan Mubarak family, and I pray that all is well with you and your family.
Ramadan Kareem.
Ramadan
Kareem.
What I have to say is going to be not long but short because I'm in the midst of baking right now. But
oh,
I just
green cake? Green cake?
Yes.
Hook a brother up.
That's
hook
a little inside joke, family.
Okay.
That's an inside joke.
Just wanted to speak to, you know, my family that, you know, sometimes we do become overwhelmed. And we allow ourselves to become overwhelmed because we don't sit and think quietly. And we use food as a crutch to help us think. But all we have to do is just sit and commune with Allah God, and He will calm your spirit. You know, we use food as a drug. Your doctors use food as a drug because they'll tell you you need to eat three times a day. No, you don't. Your body carries food even from 2 days ago because it's still trying to digest in your system. But on a mental note, you know, we have so much that's going on around us. You know, we got our families pulling us from here. We got the people on our job if we are working, or we have the people that's in our neighborhood that seem like they're going crazy. So I'm going crazy. All you have to do is take 15 minutes to sit and be quiet. I mean, no TV, even if you have children, even if you have to go into the bathroom and close the bathroom and sit quietly, because most of our mental health is because our brains are constantly racing, and we're trying to figure out, where am I going, what am I going to do, you know, this is happening there. But when you collect yourself and you ask yourself, what do I really want, what do I need to do, you will get an answer. But you just have to be quiet because Allah will come into your inner ear and give you the answer. If He doesn't give you the answer, He will send someone to you, even if it's a complete stranger. You may walk outside and the stuff is on your head, and all of a sudden a complete stranger will walk by, even just to say hello. How you doing? How's everything? And before you know, a conversation starts, and that complete stranger will give you what you're looking for. So you'd never think that there isn't an answer out there for what you're going through mentally. And we also have to remember, even though this is the month of Ramadan, we can continue our Ramadan and continue to eat one meal a day, even to go 2 days. You don't have to wait for Ramadan in order for you to practice how to eat to live.
That's right.
It is very important. When I'm talking to you, I'm talking to myself, because each and every one of us are going through something. So we try not to let food be our crutch, because that will hurt us more, and that will make us want to go, oh, I got this ache, I got this pain, so let me go to the doctor. And what's the doctor going to do? He's making money. Every time you walk into his office, he's making money. Every time he writes a prescription, he's making money. So if you know how to eat to live, you don't have to go to the doctor. Okay? So I just wanted to say those few words, even though I'm in the midst of doing it, but it was on my heart, and Allah gave it to me to say to you that don't stress. You remember the minister said, we are in Allah's will. Everything that's going on around us, he even said, you're going to see things you've never seen. You're going to hear things you never seen. He said, well, what did he say? Don't grieve. Because these are the things that Allah is putting us through to see how strong we are with this foundation. Can we make it?
Right.
Okay? So
right.
I pray the words that I have given you have helped you. All praise due to Allah. Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Kareem. Ramadan Kareem.
407. Man. All right, let's see. It's just a filler on the line.
Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me, sir?
Yes, ma'am. We hear you. You're going to say
finally.
Yes, sir. Finally. I'm glad that you're finally on the line. And I want you to say whatever is on your heart, but
yes,
I want you to touch on counseling, ordering,
yes,
talking to someone, the art of talking to someone, the right person who can help open up feelings and emotions and get you to articulate what you're feeling. Okay?
Yes, sir.
So go ahead, Sister Phyllis. Yes,
to Allah. Well, I thank Allah. First of all, I just want to thank Allah for coming in person, Master Muhammad, and leaving with us, giving to us the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and leaving with us the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And Minister Louis Farrakhan is the one who had given us Dianetics, which we call life repair. And,
right.
You know, he did that in 2010. And that is, life repair is that form of counseling. You know, my background is in counseling, and in order for you to properly get counseled, you have to trust the person that you're speaking to, that you're opening up to. Sometimes,
right.
You know, people will go to therapists. They're not saying everything that's on their mind. They don't really trust the therapist. And a lot of times they go to
right.
a therapist because they're forced to go to a therapist. And we as the people, we don't want to go to therapists. We don't want to go to psychologists, psychiatrists, and all that. And I don't blame us, because I heard Sister Deborah talk about these doctors wanting money. So when you go you go into these therapists and these psychologists and psychiatrists, that's all they want, and especially the psychiatrists. They want the money. Now, my background is in counseling. I have a Master of Science in counseling and development. When I was in graduate school, we had to go to different conferences, and you would be with psychologists, psychiatrists, social workers, you know, anyone that was in the people person profession. And this psychiatrist got up and was telling us that there's a certain way you should set up your office. It's like, these are the way these people construct their offices when they're having us come in to get counseling. And he said, on the back of your wall, wherever you're sitting, have your wall behind you. Put up all your accolades, all your degrees, all of your awards, you know, any certificates you received. Keep that on your back wall. And he said that when a person comes, when someone comes in, your client comes in to see you, he says, have them sit in front of you. He said, and then you get up, since this is like their first day, he says, then you get up and tell them, give me 5 minutes, I'll be back. He said, they have nothing else to do but look at your wall. Look at all your accolades. Look at the degrees that you received.
Wow.
All that. He says, and they're going to say in their mind, wow, this person is smart. This person really knows what they're doing. He said, when you come back, they'll believe anything you say. He said, you can keep them. Now, brother, this was in 1983 that I'm hearing this. This is when I was working on my master's. And when I heard that, brother,
wow.
I jump up, like the minister said that he wanted to snatch somebody's throat out. But I had to stop because I'm in their world. You understand? So I don't care if you're a black psychiatrist, a black psychologist. If you're learning under them and you follow what they say to do, then you're not anything but an imitation. You understand? So what the minister brought up with Dianetics is like, we are working with our people. You have to genuinely love your people, you know, and when they come to us, it's not like going to a therapist or a psychiatrist or anything. I'm like you and you're like me. What you've gone through, I've been through. Or I know someone else that's been through what you're going through. So it's a different type of counseling. It's something that you feel comfortable with. And what we bring up to people is to let them know that the Honorable Ms. Louis Farrakhan told us in our counseling session that people are going to open up and tell you their most innermost secrets and problems that they, or whatever they have been through in life that they have never told other people. And he said, and we say this to our, what we call pre-clear, we say this to the person that we're counseling, that if the minister said, if he finds out that we were talking about anybody, anything that they said to us, not only will we get put out of the mosque, but we'll get put out of the Nation of Islam indefinitely. So now I always open up with that when I'm talking to someone, because I want them to know that they can trust me, because that is not something that I want to happen to myself. So I want to make sure that when someone comes to me, that they feel comfortable, that they feel safe, that they feel that they can open up, that they could say anything that was on their mind, anything that's bothering them, because the only way that we can help people is if they feel that way and if they can open up and tell us everything. So that's just the counseling that we do. Now, I wanted to bring up some other things. I want all of us to know that we were all born under this white supremacist world. Right? We all know that. I mean, you know, we've heard these things before. We were born in this. And so if, when we're born in this, if there's no one to, like, really tell us that this is what we're going through, we won't know. We're trying to fit into society. And we're constantly fighting. You know, this is why you have so many marches and all that. And what the minister say? You know, you keep marching, and they keep kicking you in the head. You keep marching, and you want justice. You know, you want a job. You know, you want all of these things. He said, and then they kick you in the head. How many times have we marched about these police killing our people, and then they get off? How many times did that have to happen for us to understand that this society is not for us? Why are we fighting these people? The messenger said, if you don't want me, I don't want you. What we have to start doing now is building for ourselves. This is what we're doing. We're bringing in a new world. We're going into the hereafter. But we won't go into the hereafter if we're still trying to stay up under this enemy. Okay,
right.
So Harriet Tubman said that she could have freed more slaves if she could have convinced them that they were slaves. Our people don't even understand. So what we're going through. You know, we still up under, who we voting for? The minister was saying,
Come on.
The lesser of the two evils, still evil. Why are we still doing that?
Right.
He said, vote for Almighty God Allah, you know, and the Messiah. You understand?
Right.
Do you know when I go to vote, that's what I write down for president? Because, you know, there's a place on the ballot like for those who want to.
Right, because you can write in.
Yeah, yes, where you can write in. And yes, I always write in Almighty God Allah for president and the Messiah for vice president.
Praise
because
you,
I'm not voting for evil. I'm not voting for evil. Right. Then the other thing we have to understand is the names that we have. You know, like, you know, look at our surnames. You know, Brown, Jackson, Richardson, Washington. You know, these are slave masters' names. We don't realize it because we're under it so much. But think of the Chinese man whose name is Ching Chong Li. Think of the Chinese woman whose name is Tu Mi Chung. Well, when they see you as being Leroy Brown, you know, or Marsha, they want to know what the heck is that. You know, we don't know Africans to be like that, but we don't see that. This is why other people are looking at us and take us for fools, you know, because they're laughing at us because we don't really understand what happened to us. Now, going back to mental illness, you know, we were saying there's no place in the Nation of Islam for mental illness. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't come that way, but you're not going to stay that way. And that's why we have auditing. And auditing is a therapy where you can go into the issue you have. You go to the earliest moment of it. If we could get to the earliest moment of whatever problem that you have and we dissolve that at that time, you could have been 3 years old watching your parents fighting, arguing and fighting, and that would put fear in you. That's a traumatic experience. That would make you paranoid. That would give you anxiety. That would give you grief. That would make you behave irrationally. You might have psychosomatic disorders, all kind of phobias, stress. You understand? So from 3 years old, you're dealing with all of this, and you don't know how to handle that, but you're growing up trying to, so you have irrational behavior. But if we could get back into that period of time that you were going through that, because we can even go into the mother's womb, where I have even audited someone who had a backache, and she said she remember having it all her life. When we went back into when she was three, and she talked about her parents arguing, and then she went into another space, and I said, where are you right now? And she said, I don't know, dark. And she said, but I could hear people. I could hear them talking. And she realized it was her mother and father's voice. And her father was beating on her mother while she was pregnant. And her father kicked her. And that's when she had pain in her back. As she went out of that session, she had no more back pain. And do you know the relief that people have when they go into a session and they finally get to the root of what the problem is? It's like your reds are redder, your greens are greener. I mean, life is like you become more creative because there's such a heavy burden that's off of you that you have been carrying for such a long time. And our people are carrying that. And it's on a cellular level because, remember, our ancestors were going through that. You see? And all that was passed down to us. So, you know, that's another type of therapy is to get audited. And there are many auditors all around the country, all around the world, that the minister had us go to learn, you know, Dianetics. He told us to get Dianetics and bring it back to the mosque. Now, we are not Scientologists. We have a religion. Our religion is Islam. But we learn Dianetics, and what we call it is life repair. Because we're talking about reparations is not just money. You know, you give us money, we're not going to do anything to give it back to the white man. Reparation is repair. We need to be repaired. And that's why we life repair. Once our lives are repaired, then we'll have a more understanding of what we're supposed to be doing. We're not supposed to be spending money, you know, buying the things that we don't need. Spending money on vices, you know, alcohol, drugs, whatever, you know, spending money on all of this equipment that they have, you know, flat screen TVs, you know, all over the place. You know, we're just throwing our money away. So we'll have a better idea what we're supposed to do with money. Get that big ticket item that you need. The first thing is we need to all own property and own a home. That was not drilled into us when we were children. These are things that our children are learning. Like in the MUI, they're learning to own your own property, own your own business. No, it's not about going to school to get a good job, you know, to get a good education, to get a good job. That's not what it's about. It's about going and learning, and you don't even have to go to a college to do this. You know, you learn as much as you can in your own business. You know, you go and you start your own business. Once you start your business, you start pulling your family in. Then you start pulling your community in. We all, you know, we should be farming. We start off with gardening. Even if you don't have a backyard, you should have a windowsill garden. You can raise herbs on your windowsill, and guess what? You'll be able to barter with someone. Sister Deborah, who was just on, her and I are always bartering. You know, and I've been growing butternut squash, you know, peppers, carrots, onions, things like that in my backyard, and we can barter with each other. She grows herbs and spices. You know, so these are things that we should be doing right now with each other. We don't have to wait to get land to do that. Just get a big flower pot, you know, and start growing something. You'll feel so good just knowing that, see, Allah has food here for us. We should not be working for food. We should not be working to go to a grocery store, and in our neighborhood, you got the worst of food. We should be
buying
property so that we can grow our own food. And that's where help. You know, I heard Sister Deborah also talk about food being our medicine. It is. You know, the messenger says that in How to Eat to Live. And do you know doctors know that food is medicine? Doctors know food is medicine. And when a doctor might say to you, oh, you know, your cholesterol is high, I need for you to start eating low-fat food, and you need to, well, that's a prescription. I found out from a tax preparer that if a doctor writes up that you need low-fat food or low sugar or whatever, and you buy that as food, that's a write-off as medicine because he wrote it up as a prescription. So doctors do know that food is medicine. We just don't know it, and we're eating the wrong food. Meats are really something that we should stay away from because that causes problems as well. Meat. You know, then we have biochemical disorders. And that's from using drugs, and now people are smoking marijuana or cannabis and saying, oh, this is legal now and all that. And people don't understand that this stuff is laced with fentanyl. Fentanyl is in the marijuana. It's in cigarettes. It's in the vaping. It's in food. You know, it's in many things that we're eating. And we don't even respect meat. We don't even realize that they're injecting these foods and meats with fentanyl. They're trying to get us any way that they can. You know, so it's up to us to know the proper foods to eat. Okay, I just wanted to bring all of that out just so that...
Well, thank you, Sister Phyllis, that bring it out you did. Yeah.
All praise is due to Allah.
Thank you, Sister Phyllis.
All I wanted to say, and then I just hope that we can just continue the conversation with whoever is coming up next.
Oh, and that is Dr. Joy coming up next. But before she comes up, we just want you to know that you are listening to Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness on the Black Hole Radio Network. It is 4:54 p.m. Well, according to my watch, you know, give or take a minute or two. It's almost 5 o'clock p.m., but we are going on. We have over another hour to continue this, and if necessary, we can continue it next week too, because we know the owners of the network, and we can always pull on them to get some time for next week. Yeah. So, Dr. Joy, what say you?
Crazy to us.
First of all, Dr. Joy, when you come on, first thing I need you to do is introduce yourself and tell the family who you are and where you're from.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Well, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, who came in the person of Master Fadl Muhammad, and that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad is his exalted Christ and messenger. And I further bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is the Messiah of our times. I greet you all with the greeting words of peace and paradise of Assalamu Alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak.
Wa alaikum salam,
Ramadan Kareem. Crazy to Allah. I'm Sister Dr. Joy 2X. I come from Greensboro, North Carolina, Mighty Muhammad Mosque number 92. And I am a doctor of Chinese medicine. It's not a Western medical doctor. I am a doctor of traditional Chinese medicine. So I have been studying and practicing traditional Chinese medicine for ongoing of, it's turning into 13 years now. And in traditional Chinese medicine, we understand that the body innately knows and desires how to heal itself. And so that is what I am bringing to you today. I'm also known as the Qi Mechanic. I'm one-third of the co-host of the STEM Files with my dear brothers Tariq Muhammad, a.k.a. Tariq Cardiac, and brother Jabril Muhammad, a.k.a. Jabrilian Engineer. So we have a podcast pretty regularly, and I've just been really enjoying that. But today, Brother Rudolph, I'm so excited because I met you during Savior's Day. I was very honored to serve our people on the med team this year. So that was just one of my biggest honors and blessings from Allah this year.
Thank you.
And I just love, you know, I got recertified with my CPR training from you. So praise be to Allah. I'm very grateful for that.
Yes, ma'am. That's right. That's what we do.
And when you reached out to me, I'm so grateful to Allah that you reached out to me, because your question, you know, was really, you know, how does acupressure or acupuncture work on a person's mental health disorder? And so what I wanted to start with was just a little background about acupuncture, because not everybody knows me. I'm so new to the nation. I graduated last year in Elijah's class of Armageddon last year, 2023. So I'm in it. We're here. And also, I heard you talk some Wu-Tang, so survival got me bugging, but I'm still alive on arrival. I'm here.
I'll praise you to Allah.
So acupuncture. Acupuncture is a 3,000-year-old art and science. It's been used to treat just a variety of different health issues, from mental and emotional, of course, to chronic or acute physical conditions. There are five pillars of traditional Chinese medicine. So there's nutrition, movement, herbalism, of course, acupuncture, and then body work like Tui Na or Shiatsu massage. So it's a systems-based healthcare approach. It uses ancient Chinese medical theory, and it puts it into practice with really tangible results by using this really complex but also very, very simple meridian system. Meridians are also known as channels, so there's over 12 of them on the body, and then there's also over 365 points within those 12 channels. So that's for starts. And then it has these three main objectives. So the first is really to alleviate pain and any other signs or symptoms of dis-ease, right? It strengthens the immune system just off the rip. And then the most important, I believe, is what we were talking about with Sister Deborah and Sister Phyllis were speaking on, was to bring balance and harmonize and integrate that mind, body, spirit as a whole. You know, you are what you eat. You know, part of the root of our problem is, you know, what we are talking about, food as medicine, or food can be your disease. You know, we really want to integrate how we are counseling ourselves and others. So those things are so important for the recovery of any disease. And recovering from any disease, it really varies when you're using something like acupuncture from person to person, because everybody is constitutionally different. So if you had a headache, Brother Rudolph, and I had a headache, our headaches, the way I would treat us, might be completely different. I might use totally different channels, different herbs, different remedies. So that's a little bit for starts. But in terms of using this for mental and emotional health and wellness, I wanted to say this as well. So I received my master's in 2019, and then I proceeded to my terminal doctoral degree in 2022. And within my master's program, we had this really wonderful healing community trauma training. I'm not sponsored or affiliated really with anybody in this, except I did take this course from an organization called Acupuncturists Without Borders. And so they allowed this trauma training to, well, what it did was it offered us as acupuncturists to address trauma in our patients as well as our communities. So we were learning tools to provide trauma-informed care in really essential and crucial situations. So, you know, a lot of the topics were really to prepare us to provide community-style acupuncture, which is what I do, to people impacted by everything from natural disasters to environmental devastations to diseases to social injustice and human conflict. So the focus was really on how to provide that trauma-informed care in times of crises. So what better way? I thank Allah daily for always knowing and always, you know, just putting the Muslima heart in me from the time I was born. And beautiful. Knowing that this is exactly where I needed to be, and especially just coming into the graduating class of Armageddon, I mean, it couldn't be any more, like, wax poetic than that for me. So I thank Allah daily for this. Part of the topics that were covered, excuse me, with this trauma training was the physiological, social, and psychological factors and trauma patterns, the sociological sources of trauma, any kind of clinical tools for trauma prevention, like even how to set up disaster response projects in the community. So I have all of this knowledge and information that I can't wait to share with the nation, because this is imperative, as well as how to eat to live, how to grow your own garden, how to just everything that the Muslim program lays out for us. This settles right into it very comfortably, inshallah. And so, you know, we really want to seek and help and consider providing that trauma-informed care, not only for others, but self-help. You know, that's what I understand. I have not received Dianetics yet, but I absolutely cannot wait. I love, when I was coming through my schooling, you know, I was trying everything from somatic therapies like Gestalt or EMDR therapies, which, you know, then when I came into the nation and learned of Dianetics, I was like, oh, my God, this is so wonderful. This is just everything that I'm, you know, inspired by and love to work on myself. That self-help is so vital, because you can't help anybody else unless you're really helping yourself and laying that real root foundation, that core, for yourself. You know, we want to always get to the root of the problem, right, externally, but we also need to do that work internally as well in order to provide that space for that foundation of the hereafter. So when I'm talking about trauma-informed care with acupuncture, so a lot of people, even if acupuncture, if you're tuning in and acupuncture is a new concept for you, you've never heard of it, is it talked about in the Holy Quran, is it talked about in our lessons? On the STEM Files, we had a really wonderful brother, Brother Munakai, the brother in the East, and he does Reiki, and he tapped in right away to the concepts within our Supreme Wisdom lesson. lessons that, you know, there are over, you know, hundreds of thousands of knowledgeable books that we have yet to even really tap into. And part of this knowledge, you know, is very well traditional Chinese medicine. And in saying that, I know many of you all on the call right now are in New York. I love New York. I'm not from New York, but I love it. And in the 1970s in the Bronx, New York, the Lincoln Memorial Hospital was overtaken by the Black Panther.
That's
Panthers.
Right.
And,
go ahead.
Yes,
talk about it.
And the Brown Berets. So Dr. Matulu Shakur, may Allah be pleased with our brother. He was instrumental in saving our people, getting them off of crack cocaine, getting them off of all kinds of opiates,
right.
And stimulants, heroin, all kinds. And so what he
That's
did
right.
was when they took over the Lincoln Memorial Hospital, an abandoned
hospital,
hospital
that's right.
And they made it their outpost in order to service the community at large. And so what they did was they started training up people, which I cannot wait to do, inshallah, to talk about and learn and listen and start putting into practice these basic principles of Chinese medicine, balance and harmony, yin and yang, you know, the concept of the five elements, you know, that you are
right.
a part of your environment, not separated from it. And so in saying that, Dr. Matulu Shakur, he really invested in his education and knowledge in the 5NP, that's N as in Nancy, so 5 NADA protocol. And NADA stands for, you can look this up, the National Acupuncture Detox Association. And that uses 5 key points in each ear that are used to stimulate and harmonize. In Western medicine, we could talk about the vagus nerve and the vagal nerve theory.
Right.
And with the vagus nerve, for people who have never heard of this, don't know what it's about, I'm going to give you an analogy. So if you're in a car accident, God forbid, but if you've ever been in a car accident and you realize that your, you know, your shoulders are a wreck and your stomach is in knots and, you know, you might be like constipated and have a headache and all that, we can think of the vagus nerve as basically being like a wrung out washcloth, right? Like when you're wringing out a washcloth and it's just so tight and wound up so tight. But the vagus nerve, that is the longest nerve. It's cranial nerve number 10 for science nerds out
right.
there. And it runs from your head to your toes. And the vagal nerve, it carries signals between your brain, your heart, your digestive system. It's a key part of your parasympathetic nervous system that helps you rest and digest, right? It helps with, you know, blood pressure, all kinds of things. So what this 5 NADA protocol, 5NP, NADA protocol, what this does in auricular or ear acupuncture is it literally viscerally taps into that vagus nerve, the root of the vagus nerve, and it sends that nerve into complete rest and digest. And so in Chinese medicine, we have a concept of five element theory. There's fire, earth, metal, water, and wood, and those all need to be in harmony and balance in the body. And when one is off, all of them are off. And so those 5 stimulating points in the ear each represent one of those 5 elements. So in very basic layman terms, you're resetting your 5 elements, you are resetting your vagus nerve system. And what Dr. Matulu Shakur and those pioneers knew from that day in 1975, they understood that we cannot heal ourselves if we are not at rest. And why in the world would the world ever let Black people and Brown people, Indigenous people, Native people be at rest ever? We're in a constant state of trauma, right? We're in a constant state of overstimulation, of hyperfixation, and so we are always moving you know, in that kind of hyper-aware space. And so what does that do to your body? Why can't you lose weight even though you might even be, you know, using How to Eat to Live? Well, your nervous system might just be a total wreck, and you don't even realize that. Why do you have high blood pressure, but you know, and you're still taking blood pressure medication? You know, there's something somatically wrong, you know, that needs to be tapped into. And so when I was learning this medicine, it just seems like one of many answers. And now that I've come into the nation, I just feel like that entire syllabus has just been completely laid out and filled out for me. All praises due to Allah.
All praises due to Allah. Mm, beautiful, dear sister. Beautiful, Dr. Joy.
Thank you, Tala. Yes, sir. The recovery from any and all diseases is possible. And whenever I see patients, I am in constant communication with the God. You know, when I'm going to a patient, I'm asking him to just, you know, let me be a channel, a clear channel, a clear vessel for his healing and guidance. You know, I can't do anything without Allah. I never have and I never will. And, you know, that really seems to come through, you know, with some of my toughest patients. My youngest is a 6-month-old who was a labor induction, and my eldest is 82 with gout. And everybody's doing great. And so I really just give all praise to Allah, God, who came in the person of Master Farid Muhammad, for even allowing me to come into this type of practice. And a little bit of, you know, my backstory too was the way I came into Chinese medicine. I had very severe spinal cord injury. In my early 20s, slipped over my handlebars on my bicycle and fell, and I fell on my head without a helmet, and I was out cold for 20 minutes. I didn't wake up until I was in the MRI, and I thought I had died. I didn't know, you know, what had gone on, and I woke up, and I was still strapped to the stretcher, and I had a concussion for about 9 months. I was in a neck brace. You know, just a few months later, I was diagnosed with cauda equina. I was incontinent. I was unable to move. It was the worst condition of my life. I ended up gaining 60 pounds because I could not move, you know, and I was just miserable. When you're in pain, when you're in physical pain, sometimes that can also trigger the mental and emotional pain. You know, now I'm sitting here, you know, fat and unhappy. Now I'm just really depressed, and I can't move, and I can't really help myself. And so by God's grace and mercy, my university, my undergraduate university, they were having a Earth Day fair, like a healing arts fair or whatever, and there were some acupuncturists on the lawn, and this woman was just looking at me like, oh, I know you're hurting, just come sit down. And she put a couple of needles in my ear, and I had no more neck pain, and my headache went away. And I was like, oh, my God, I don't know what you did. I don't know what you did, but I'm so grateful. And just started tearing up. And maybe a few short months after that, a friend of mine gave me insight. Hey, you know, there's a job I think that you might, you know, that might be really fitting for you because you already grow your own food and you already make your own medicine. And I think that this is right up your alley. And it ended up being a pharmacist in a herbal pharmacist in a Chinese medical acupuncture clinic here in Greensboro. And I just loved it. I learned everything that I could in the materia medicas for, you know, Chinese herbs. In schooling, even in your master's program, you learn pharmacology as well as traditional Chinese herbs and the herb-drug interactions. So you're never, you know, giving somebody something that they cannot have. You know, we're really looking into that, any kind of, like, blood thinners or, you know, what's crossing the blood-brain barrier. Like, we're taking all of that into account before prescribing any herbs at all, even food, right? You know, some people can't eat spinach. and so just taking all of that into account, the full scope of a person, that's what systems-based medicines are, right? Like, you have to take into account everything from their background, socioeconomic background, to, you know, where they're living. You know, do they live in a moldy environment? Are there petrochemicals everywhere? Like, what, you know, why is this person, you know, riddled with dis-ease? What's causing this? And then we're also working with this concept of chi. a lot of people see it as QI. It's the old Taoist way of how to spell it. That's how I spell it. It's pronounced Qi. Some people see it the Japanese way of KI. It's pronounced Qi. Same thing. But, Qi is energy in the very broadest sense possible. Qi is universal. Qi embraces all the manifestations of energy. So, for instance, we know that air is true. You're breathing it right now. Otherwise, you wouldn't be talking. And that is a very subtle chi. It's not a dense chi. It's vibrating at a very high speed because you can't see it. Where if I'm sitting in a truck, that's very dense chi. I can see the truck. I can touch the truck. I can feel the truck. You know, all the molecules are so dense that it's right there, but it's made up of chi. So everything is, even the earth beneath your feet. And so life is, it's said in Chinese medical classics, it's a gathering of the chi. So a healthy and happy human being is they're dynamic and harmonious, and that's one of the aspects that we work on when you're coming to see an acupuncturist. So when I treat somebody when they're in pain, they could have shoulder pain, neck pain. I just saw somebody who had a major car accident 9 years ago, still has basically like shrapnel in her shoulder from it. I mean, the car that hit her was going 90 miles an hour and took part of her ear and her shoulder off, and she couldn't move it. She had like 0 degrees range of motion. And the first time that I saw her, all I did was treat the pain that she had and the immobility that she had. And by the time she was able to lift her arm above her head, you could tell even in her eyes that her mental and emotional and spiritual state felt so alleviated that she was happy. And so she continues to see me because that's what it's doing. It's working on that mental, emotional, and physical and spiritual space all at once. And so that's why it's just so important to me to always be at the mosque. Inshallah, I'll make it tonight for my Friday meeting. But I'm in constant study, whether it's Chinese medicine, whether it's How to Eat to Live, whether it's the Holy Quran or the self-improvement classes. Like, I need those things to help me in order to help other people.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Beautiful, Dr. Joy. Now, how can our listening audience get in contact with you?
Thank you, Chula. I have a website. It's www.earthworks, earthworksacu. org, or you can find me on Instagram. It's also earthworksacu on Instagram. You can find me on the STEM Files through the STEM Files. We have a Facebook page. I also have an Earthworks Acupuncture page on Facebook. I'm willing and able to answer all questions through email at info@earthworksacu.org. And especially if you're in North Carolina, then I can actually see you.
Praise be to Allah. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for sharing your expertise, your acumen. Oh, my goodness. The phones are ringing off the hook.
Praise be to Allah.
Brother Rudolph? Tell him where Brother Rudolph is on the planet. He could be dispatched somewhere in the fine Republic of Detroit, right? So, again, brothers and sisters.
No, I'm here, Brother Yusuf. I'm here.
Okay, there you go.
I was on mute. Yeah, I was on mute because there's a lot of noise in my background. But yeah, that man, Dr. Joy, thank you. I appreciate you coming on. And I just want you to know, get ready because we're bringing you back because you got to go more into it. You know, that was like an appetizer at a soiree. You know, that was. A piece of halal chicken on a Ritz cracker. You know, that's what that was.
Hilarious.
Oh, my goodness.
yeah, you know. Oh, man. Yeah, no, it was great meeting you also at Savior's Day. Your energy, it was just, oh, man, overwhelming. It was just so just bubbling out, just infectious, and that's what we want. That's what we needed in the Ministry of Health, because, you know, we are charged by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to look after a lost people. And
that's right.
You can't do that. You can't do that with a bad attitude. Because the first thing our people really need to see is a smile.
That's
and
right.
In medicine, in general, in medicine, you walk into a sick person's room. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that it takes blood 8 minutes and 20 seconds or 500 seconds to make a complete revolution from the heel of the foot to the brain and back to the heel of the foot. He said that if you impart the right word to a person, you will see
right.
a positive result in 8 minutes and 20 seconds. I've tried it, and it does work. So suffice that to say, when we meet someone, we don't know what our people – well, we know what our people are going through. We just don't know how close to the edge they are. And so every time we meet them, if we meet them with a smile and a kind word, not only is that charity, not only is that an act of kindness, but that's healing. That's medicine for a sin, sick world. That's medicine for an emotionally disturbed person. That's that balm from Gilead that helps to, you know, make the wounded whole. That's what our people need. What the song said, Brother Houston? What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Yes, we need love. Listen, when you read the Holy Quran, it talks about the 55th surah, you know, it talks about which one of the bounties of your Lord would you deny? Well, bounties are the talent that he has given to each of us. Well, what are we doing with our talent? Some of us have the ability to make people smile just because we smile. We're infectious like that. Some of us have such light, bubbly, airy spirit that when you come around people, you just make them forget about their woes and they feel good just being in your presence. Well, that's medicine. That's your talent.
That's right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, in the book of the Bible, it taught, you know, when you talked about that book that says Acts, A-C-T-S, Acts, Acts of the Apostles. Well, what were the acts of the apostles? What was the behavior of the apostles? What was the attitude of the apostles? That's talking about, that's a verb there. That's not a noun, it's a verb. And it's talking about works that they did that attributed to their relationship with walking with the Son of God, walking with the man of that day. Well, we're walking with the Son of God today. We're walking with the Messiah right now. What are the acts of the Muslims right now? What are our acts? It talks about the Beatitudes, the B-E, attitudes. Well, yeah, the Beatitudes. When are the Beatitudes from the Muslims? See, the world is going crazy. But damn it, we're supposed to be God in reincarnation. We're supposed to be God walking the planet Earth today. And if we can change the molecular structure of any room that we go into, then we can change the mindset of any community, any conference, any meeting that we go into, and we can impart whatever we want to be in the atmosphere there, but we have to be there to do it, and we have to be in the right frame of mind to do it. So that's why I love you, Sister Dr. Joy, because you came in with that infectious spirit. You had that righteous COVID-19. And that's what we want. And we want to infect the whole world with your spirit. So you're right. You have welcome home. We're glad that you found the Ministry of Health. And we
want
to utilize every bit of that information, knowledge, and spirit that you have. And don't let nobody pour water on your fire and put your fire out. Brother Yusuf, go ahead.
and you had the nerve to call me the pastor of disaster. That's a shame.
Well,
well,
see, I've been hanging
brother,
around
you,
Brother Yusuf.
No,
I've been hanging around
Sister
you.
Joy, Sister Dr. Joy, you know, you have the right name, dear sister, and it reminds me of when I'm out in the community with the Final Call newspaper, it's two things the people can guarantee they're going to hear from me. The first thing that comes out of my mouth is peace and blessings. I'm smiling before I even come in their presence close enough that we can hear each other speak. And then when we depart, I say, don't let anyone steal your joy. And so that's what comes to my mind, listening to Brother Rudolph, listening to yourself, listening to Sister Phyllis, listening to our sister who opened up, Sister Deborah. And I don't know if Sister Chantel is still with us, Brother Rudolph, but I certainly don't want to take up any more time and have respect for her time if she's still on to have her join us.
Yeah, we
got to
bring Chantel on, man.
Well, go ahead,
Chantel, where you at, Sister Chantel? I'm sorry, Sister Chantel. I apologize. Where you at, Sister Chantel? Come on. Grab the mic. Man, I hope she's still on. I hope she didn't have to go. Okay, she may have had to go.
She may be multitasking, as most MGT do, but we also have
I think Sister Melanie is holding on too. Sister Melanie, you must
yes,
be feeling
sir.
A hearing. You stealing a hearing? Well, alaikum
salam.
Assalamu alaikum. Good afternoon, everyone.
Peace.
Good afternoon. Come on. Put your spoon in the pot and stir it.
Oh, this is so funny. So I have thoroughly enjoyed my sister's information that she shared, and I was really sparked when I heard. My ears really sparked up when I heard that she was a Reiki practitioner. Is that right, sister? Or we were talking about Chinese medicine and the benefits from it. Correct? Or maybe she's off. But I as well, I'm a Reiki practitioner level 2. And that is something else. Before, when we were on, we really didn't get a chance to speak of other methods that we can use to assist us in healing. And so it was really interesting because some of the methods that we talked about before last or the week prior was about sitting still and getting that quiet time, just allowing everything mm-hmm. to flow and not really trying to be in a space of trying to effort and make something happen, because the more that we at times try to make something happen and make sure people, because it has to do with making sure other people outside of ourselves do what we want them to do. Have we ever noticed that at times our attitudes and our temperament changes based off what somebody else doesn't do? And so when we think about mental wellness and having the ability to regulate your emotions in a state or in an environment where things do not go your way, and being able to take time to calm yourself, to sit still, to get in a state where you're not trying to effort or fix or repair or respond, it causes us those type of things that Sister was speaking of, all assist our bodies and assist us to staying out of our mind and getting into our body. And it's really interesting because when I first started this portion of my getting out of my head and into my body, it was really difficult for me. Because I used to be a major head thinker, if that makes sense. I could use words. I could try to think it through. I thought I was going to have the right recipe to make it right. And, of course, we never quite get it right. It's kind of like back in the day, that Jerry curl that never could get that right, or almost curl, never could get it quite right. And that's the way it is with life sometimes. We try, because we're efforting out, trying to fix things that are not in our control. What is in our control is being in our body, because we got it. It's assigned to us. So learning that, speaking on how you feel, oftentimes I'll ask people that I work with, how are you feeling? or how did that make you feel? And they kind of get stuck. Now, what did you think? Or not what did you see should have occurred? But how do you feel? How did your body feel as a result of what you just witnessed or what you were just a part of? Because that we can learn to gain control over. And it is a real interesting process because there's a lot of things that can go on around you that you could respond to or you could not respond to, right? It's a practice that gets you to a state where things that bother certain people won't bother you. You won't see it like that. You won't take it in like that. You'll see something. You'll say, oh, I didn't think they were being manipulative and trying to ruin your whole life. You know, because sometimes when you listen to a person, they'll make you think another individual is trying to ruin their life, like they were born to do that. And when we talk about mm-hmm. psychosis and when we talk about mental wellness or mental illness, when we're speaking about people that are in a state of psychosis that are giving us a version of their perception of what's occurring, it sounds all lucid, all crazy, all over the place. But it's they've gone so far out. And sometimes some of us that claim we're well do that. Some of us that claim we're of high intelligence can do that. And you know when a person's kind of getting there on the conspiracy theory tip, a way off, and they'll start speaking about, you didn't see him doing that? You didn't see her doing it? So you didn't see that? So you know why she's doing that, right? You know, and you're like, oh, shit, now we off again because it's not lining up. Apologies. Got to get that swearing together. But it's not lining up to what's real and what we can manage. I hope I didn't take us off on a great space coaster, but I did want to recognize what Sister said because I most definitely know the benefits of getting still and coming into a space where you don't have to try to figure the world's problems out as well as yours right now. Thank you.
No, we thank you, Sister Melanie. All praise is due to Allah. And no, you're not on a great space coaster at all. You're really in sync, in line with what was discussed prior to you coming on. Praise be to Allah. Now, whose voice was that? I'm sorry. Well, I hope you can hear me, Sister Melanie. You were definitely in sync with the conversation that we've had thus far on this week's program with Sister Deborah out of Brooklyn, Sister Dr. Joy out of Greensboro, yourself, Sister Phyllis. Oh, it's been just beautiful. It's been beautiful. I know,
yes,
I don't
sir.
Know if Brother Rudolph is still on mute, but one of the things that we all can bear witness to is how to eat to live. And when Brother Rudolph opened the program up, he started giving an illustration of cultivating our food, planting a seed and gardening. And all of you have spoken on one level or another of the importance of growing our own food. And what came to my mind, I told him, you know, Brother Rudolph kind of apologized. He said, Brother Youssef, I don't know why I got on this tangent like that. I said, no, sir. That's a great illustration because, you know, when we talk about a seed, putting it in the earth, there's a root that goes down before a shoot comes up. That's science on so many different levels. When you talk about putting a seed in the soil, I believe it's the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew that talks about the parable of the sower. And it helps to know even what nutrition is in the soil that you're putting the seed in. And then once that takes place at a certain time, we need to consider the time. I think in the Holy Quran it says, by the time surely man is in loss, except those who believe and do good and enjoin one another to truth and enjoin one another to patience. So when you plant that seed in the good soil, you have to be patient and you have to cultivate the
right.
soil, turn it over, become ravenous,
right.
if you will. And then lastly,
That's
in
right.
the Bible, Brother Rudolph, it says that some plant the seed, some water the seed, but it's Allah God who gives increase. And you know, It's interesting that we had black women on the show today, because in Message to the Black Man by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, when he talks about the black woman, he used the analogy of planting a seed in good soil and cultivation. He used the analogy that we have to watch not only our crops, but we have to watch the enemy of our crops and give both sides adequate care. So I just wanted to share that based on the spiritual and educational acumen these dear sisters dropped today, the supreme wisdom they dropped on us today, and I hope our listening audience is just as appreciative as I am of what we've heard thus far. Brother Rudolph?
Yes, sir. Sister Chantel, are you still on? I know you said that you could hear us, but we were having a problem hearing you. Well, are you still on, Sister Chantel? Press that number one and come on into the room. Man. Okay. All right. Brother Engineer, is there anybody else holding on that's in the green room waiting to come in? No, okay.
No, sir. Not at this moment, sir.
Okay, all right. Thank you, sir. Man, I think we had a great, great panel of people on the show today. Man,
it
went somewhere I didn't even see it going. But this is what we were talking about, family, when we were talking about there is help and hope for you. So don't let the fact that they labeled you as someone with a mental illness, you know, that's not your coat, that's not your jacket. Don't put it on, you know. But also, if you know that you are kind of walking on the edge there, if you know that you're teeter-tottering and you're not really balanced, get some help for yourself. There's help out here, but you have to go to people that you know give a damn about you personally in order to get that help. You can't go to your open enemy and expect them to help you. They're not trying to help you. They're trying to end you. So, you know, get some help for yourself. Get some counsel. You know, we have a stigma in our community about this mental health thing. And that, as black men, Brother Yusuf, you know, we really not talking to nobody. We don't believe we need counseling of any kind, way, shape, or form.
Imagine that.
Because we feel we got, you know, we got this. We got this. We think we the you know, like that Greek fable, we think we Atlas. We can hold up the whole world on our shoulder. That's what we think, you know. But, you know, what I say to the black man is this. If it's true that you are God, okay, if that's true, and I'm just, you know, just throwing that out there. If it's true, you are God, okay, all right. Well, when the original God created this earth and this planet and all that we see, and then he created man. And he said that it's not good that man should be alone. Then he created from himself. He gave man a helpmeet. Not a helpmate. Not a laundry person and a cook and just someone to be around the house to take orders. No, he gave him a helpmeet to help us meet and overcome the objectives that we were going to face in this life. He gave us someone for sound counseling that could be a sounding board that we could talk to and get ideas from and get straight wired and get help from when we were kind of thinking on or when we were off. He gave us a nurse that could nurse us back to health when we were diseased. He gave us a counselor that could help get us back on point when we were off track. And that's all through the vicissitudes of a woman. So if you don't have the proper attitude, mindset, or viewpoint of that woman, that starts your problem. So that's where you need to start. You need to think about who that is that you're cursing out the next time you get upset and just want to lash out because that just happens to be who's around. You need to think about who that is you raising your hand to strike because they're the closest thing to you, and you just feel you have to lash out at somebody. I don't know where that came from, Brother Yusuf, but I guess I just had to throw it out there, you know. I had to just let it out. But,
no.
Yeah, you know.
Man.
You know.
That's where it came from. The elevated
yes,
place.
Sir.
That was
you
very
know,
good, Brother Rudolph.
We have to understand who this woman is. You mean to tell me that Mary, the mother of Jesus, okay, she is revered all over the world because through her womb came the most talked about man on the planet. But she can't speak from a rostrum in a church. She can't be in an elevated, elected position to help give guidance to a people that have gone astray. You know, she can't be the one to talk about balancing the budget when she's in the projects and she got seven children and had them for over 30 years and grew them all up, and they all healthy and strong off of that welfare check, but she can't talk about balancing a budget? Oh,
imagine
come on,
that.
Man. It's something wrong with us. It's something wrong with us. And it stems from our ego and from male chauvinism, a male chauvinist mindset. The first thing we have to get rid of as men, and I'm including myself in this, not because I'm a male chauvinist, but because to some women out there, I represent what the problem is because I'm a man. And so I'm including myself in that, even though that is not my mindset. It's not. But I can understand how one could feel that way. When you've been oppressed by someone for so long, when you see any form or shape or replica of that oppressor in front of you, it automatically sends you into a negative headspace simply because that person, title, or individual represents that which is painful to you because it is a replica of your oppressor. So if that's who I represent to some, I apologize for that because that's not me, but I'm letting you know that Brother Rudolph reveres women. Because I have a mother out here that's 92 years old. I have a wife that I love dearly and will not die for, but will kill for.
That's right.
Make that plain. Understand that.
That's
I'm not
right.
just going to lay out my life and die, but no, I'm going to kill
Me
you
too.
If
Go
you
ahead.
Disrespect or mess with my
First.
Wife or upset
that's
her.
Right.
And that goes across the board. It doesn't matter who you are. Because I have to live with that woman. And when she's not happy, I'm not happy. So, again, I don't know where that came from, Brother Yusuf. I just had to throw it out there. So I'm just saying, listen, we have to respect and protect our women because that's what a civilized man does. What is the duty of a civilized man? And if a civilized man doesn't do his duty, what should happen to that so-called man?
Mm-hmm. That's
okay,
right.
Okay, so those are just questions. I don't know, Brother Yusuf. I'm going to turn it back to
no,
you.
No, the first time,
go ahead,
Brother Rudolph, you said you didn't know where it came from. It came from the elevated place. And I heard a sister on the line said, That was beautiful, Brother Rudolph. And then the second time you said you don't know where it came from, it came from the upper room. The same place, elevated place, upper room. But whatever sister who spoke, if you're one of the guests, feel free to build on what you heard Brother Rudolph say, as we are at 5:44 p.m. and we're in our last 15 minutes or so of the program. Was that Sister
yes.
Dr. Joy that?
Right it was ahead, Sister
Queen.
Melanie that commented, but it may
okay,
have been
Sister
another
Melanie.
Sister. Yes, sir.
No, go right
so
ahead,
I was just,
Sister Melanie.
I was just bearing witness to what I was hearing about black men in particular, where there's a mindset sometimes, not all the times, but more than it, I wish it was, that therapy or seeking help is not what men do. And so one of the questions for the couple few times I've had the pleasure to working with black men in a therapy lane, being their therapist, when it was difficult to get them to just start with what their issues were, because, of course, sometimes black men just naturally want to put on the or from the I'm fine family. Everything's fine. Everything's great. Ain't nothing wrong with me. My life is fine. My children fine. Because they take it as a reflection on their manhood when things aren't. That's what I learned from a man. And so I just asked a simple question. If you don't need any help, you may have been in prison, you may have been living in a rough situation, you may have been absent of a father, you may have been absent of a mother and a father, may have grown up in foster care, may have had none of that happen, just have had some rough times getting along with people. So what I always ask, just to get us started, is if there's nothing wrong, how are your relationships? How are your relationships with your children? First question was, well, I talked to two, but I don't talk to the other two. Well, if everything's fine, everything's great, why is that? Why can't you make that work? What happened to the first wife? What happened to the third wife? What happened to the fifth wife? Why has there never been a wife? Or a husband, if that's where you're going. I don't know. But why is there no mate that you can clearly connect with, since you're just fine and great and you don't need any assistance and therapy are for people that you know don't believe in God and they weak-minded? I mean, I've heard all kind of stuff from the Muslims, by the way.
Wow.
They the first ones to talk about how somebody weak-minded and why you doing that. And all you need to do is pray. If you follow this, then why your shit ain't right? Because that's obviously what you do.
Wow.
So if that's what you do, is it a difference?
God,
I mean, is there something, is there something? So we need to stop, because guess what? All of us want to be happy. All of us want to live well. All of us want to be appreciated, thought of highly, so on and so forth, So if we're not there, why don't we just try to use the stuff that's out here for us, to black, white, or whatever, indifferent. It's there. Instead of being haughty, or like Brother Rudolph mentioned, the male ego, which sometimes some sisters have the male ego. It gets a little weird out here now. Sometimes it's hard for us to take correction, direction, or critique and take it as that's what it is in love. Even if it wasn't delivered in love, we could receive it in love, because it's how you want to take it. Therapy is good. Having someone to talk to without a judgment space is good. It will alleviate a lot of ailments that we have sometimes in the body. Searching for a solution.
Right.
That should be the mindset, not just venting, but searching for a solution, solution-based therapy. That's what it's called. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You as well, Sister Melanie. We thank you.
She killed me with that. She drop a bomb, and then just politely walk out the room,
I love the brothers.
I love
the brothers.
I love the hell out of my sister, boy.
Beautiful.
Oh, man. Who else is still on here? Want to say something else before we close? Come on now. Come on. This is a community-based program. This ain't just the Yusuf and Rudolph show. We met the right to stand the day. Come on. Yeah. Go ahead, Dr. Joy.
Yes, sir. Well, so I wanted to actually pose a question. So I am the point of contact for the Ministry of Health and Human Services in Greensboro, and I just want to know what we could do to help with the mental health, you know, in each of our mosques, like through the Ministry of Health and Human Services. Does it look like taking a survey of everybody and seeing how people are doing, you know, post-COVID? I'm using big air quotes. You know, does it look like how are we preparing for when the minister departs? You know, like what are we doing to kind of mentally prepare for the 3 long years that are upcoming?
Dr. Joy, I'm going to contact you offline, and we can have that in-depth conversation, because you have some resources there in Greensboro. As a matter of fact, one of the founding members of the Ministry of Health and Human Services comes out of Greensboro, North Carolina, and I just spoke to brother the other day. So, we're going to talk about it. We're definitely going to talk about it. Yes. So thank you. And just make sure you're going to respond. The Ministry of Health and Human Services is getting ready to have their first annual retreat in June. News to come, and it's open to anyone. Anybody. You don't have to be a member of the right now to come to that retreat, but if you come, by the time you leave, you will be a member. You will be, I guarantee you, because we're going to recruit you and indoctrinate you, and we're going to help give you some of the yoke that we have to carry. So just be careful, man. Just be careful. All right, Brother Yusuf.
Assalamualaikum.
Assalamualaikum.
This is Sister Phyllis. I just wanted to give my parting words.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, yes,
ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so I just want everyone to know that we have life repair auditors all around the country, and it's in every region. Like, I'm the Eastern Regional Auditors Coordinator for the Eastern Region. We have coordinators in the Mid-Atlantic, in the Center, in the Seventh, you know, all around the region. So wherever you are, you can contact that mosque and find out who the auditors are. You know, if there's anyone that needs to have any auditing done. And I wanted Sister Joy to know that mosque number 92 happens to be my second mosque. My son is there.
Right, that's right.
And that's the mosque I go to when I'm down there in Greensboro, North Carolina. So I'll be down there probably in May or June, and I'll be looking for you.
Crazy, Shola. I'm so excited to meet you, Shola.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Sister Phyllis, if it's okay with you, I'm going to give her your number.
Okay, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. And Dr. Joy, I'll give Sister Phyllis your number.
Yes, sir?
Yeah, that's what we're going to do. Yeah, this is what I'm talking about. That's what this show is about. It's about putting
right.
the help where the hurt is. Yeah, like their aspirin. That's right. Yeah.
Beautiful.
And I also want to put out there, in case no one knows, that Masrat Muhammad had to have met L. Ron Hubbard. And I think the minister has said that, because when you read that book, Dianetics, there are things that he says in there that really no one else knows but us. You know, when he talks about the 25,000 years and, you know, things like that. And he had said in his book that once the black man gets this, you know, this, you know, what they call Dianetics, but what we call life repair, he said the whole world is going to change.
That's right,
wow.
Dealing with those engrams. That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I got about 50 or 70,000 of them myself.
at least you can count yours. At least you can count yours. Praise be to Allah.
That's because I done had some life repair done, you know, so that took off some of them. Yeah, I done had a couple 5-hour sessions.
Yeah, I need a few more myself, beloved. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, sir.
Well, brother,
wow, what a wonderful.
Yes, it was. You know, let me say my closing remarks now because I got to get back on this road so I can get home and get ready and go to back to work. But I just wanted to thank everybody that tuned in today, everybody who participated, everybody who was just stealing a hearing. That's fine. It's fine. It's a beautiful thing. Let's get ready for next week's show. And if you have ideas for a show that you want to hear, you know, as DMX said, get at me. Here, get at me. Let us know what's on your mind. Let us know what's on your mind, what you want to hear or have a show developed about that we can get information out and, you know, help the family to heal from some of our many, many wounds. Because this is the only way that we're going to be able to do it, is each one reach one and each one teach one. I love everybody. Thank you. Ramadan Mubarak. And listen, we'll talk next week. Yes. For you.
Praise be to Allah. Thank you, Brother Rudolph. Be safe out there on the road, brother, in your travels. I just want to thank our wonderful guest this evening, this afternoon, Sister Dr. Joy, Sister Chantel, Sister Deborah, Sister Phyllis. All praise is due to Allah. Sister Mellon, what
a
wonderful...
Don't forget Sister Mellon. Don't forget Sister
Mellon. Yeah, I got her.
You don't want her calling you, telling you that you're okay.
I hope she heard me. I said, Sister Melody, oh, of course. You know, you always run that bridge.
I'm
somebody.
Right.
You mess around, you miss somebody. It's like putting your head in the guillotine, brother. They're going to chop it off, brother.
Right.
You know, they're MGG too. I know they even know karate or no karate. You know what I mean? Oh, that's right. We can't use karate. Critically. Right. But I'm just returning the grateful for our guests to be on the show. We look forward to having you at your convenience again because we never talk enough about mental health and its solutions, its causes, and effects. We just thank Allah. We came to the personal Master W. Bob Muhammad, whom all praise is due forever. And we can never thank him enough for raising the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And we can never thank the two of them enough for leaving with us the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who gave us, as a tool, Dianetics, the science of mental health. He's given us so much more. Sister Joy talked about, Dr. Joy talked about going to her Friday meeting, self-improvement, the basis for community development, where we're at to engage ourselves in self-examination, self-analysis, and self-correction. These are just references. These are just books that you should have in your library. As I listen to you, Brother Rudolph, in your closing statement talking about the men who think they're gods and don't need help. Well, don't forget we were all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Never forget what Dr. Francis Cress Welsing would say. If you don't understand white supremacy, then anything else you think you understand will only confuse you. And so when you come into this world thinking you got it, then it reminds me of a couple of my family members that are street pharmacists, if you will. And they get high on their own supply. And so when they get high on their own supply, they got what we call dope fiend schemes. Because if you can't beat them, then unfortunately too many of our black men fall prey to joining this Satan's world. And so, you know, we got to recognize the dope fiend schemes in each and every one of us. It reminds me of the development psychology of the black child by Dr. Amos Wilson. May God be pleased with him. It reminds me of countering the conspiracy to destroy black boys and black girls. That's the educational consultant, Dr. Juwan Zakanjufo. It reminds me of Chains and Images of Psychological Slavery by Dr. Naeem Akbar. So look, we have all the tools, as the sisters have said. We just have to be humble enough, put aside our egos, to use acupuncture or acupressure, to use being audited with those life repair skills, to use how to eat to live. Well, you heard the show. Ain't no need me repeating what these brilliant sisters have given us. I just wanted to let them know how much I appreciate their contribution to disaster awareness for community preparedness. And since we're in the last minute, I usually end like this with family. Even with these words shared by me and we, I guess it's still the way it used to be. The strength of a nation is its family, and real freedom is responsibility, the ability to respond by any means necessary. Thank you once again for tuning in to another weekly edition of Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. Inshallah, Lord willing, same time, same station next week. We love you. Assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak.
Alaikum salam.
Ramadan
Kareem.
I cannot help somebody as I travel alone. I cannot help somebody in a world or a soul. I cannot help somebody from blue and raw.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.